Good evening. You're in tune to Thursday Night Watch, the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama thanking you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. For those of you who are tuning into the meeting of the inner circle for the very first time, I welcome you and pray that you find the inspiration to meet me here every Thursday night, midnight to 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Central, and so on and so forth. The meeting of the inner circle is intended to be inspirational, motivational. It's intended to provide us with the opportunity to be centered in the reality of the oneness that we are with all of existence. It gives us the opportunity to be reminded that we dwell in the presence of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is all there is as existence itself. And it is this absolute and supreme intelligence that is the eye that sees through every eye. It is the being that is present with every being. It is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. And it is all there is, all that has ever been, all that will ever be. And we each have been gifted so much of it that our liberation, our salvation, our deliverance is completely contingent and dependent upon our harmonizing with the intelligence of our being, our caring to be as intelligent and supremely present as it is, as the wholeness of all being directly. And so it is for us to have the opportunity to consider the essence of ourselves, to be in a place and space where it matters to us that we are doing that which is ours to do on behalf of our wholeness, on behalf of our liberation, our resurrection, our being qualified for continuance in existence as a result of our being so duly diligent on a daily basis in exalting a full life's urge and coming to that point and place where we're loving our lives with every fiber of our being, with every breath that we take, with every step that we make, and that we are seeing in truth the real eye that sees through every eye. Absolute and supreme intelligence, we are so absolutely and supremely thankful for the gift of life, breath, for all of that which is that we do not have to pay attention to because we are completely dependent upon that which you are providing us for each and every breath and all of that which we truly have that doesn't cost us anything at all. We are so very grateful on behalf of the lineages that we represent, on behalf of our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers and great-great-grandmothers and the great-great-great and the great-great and all of those ones and all of our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers and great-great-great-grandfathers and all of those ones, that we are so appreciative that we are the blessings of the lineages that we represent, and we are asking for the inspiration, the motivation, the discipline, and the determination to be the greater ones, to raise completely up in this now moment where our whole of humanity is in need of itself in truth. As living beings, as loving beings, as those who will take responsibility to heal themselves and to work towards the wholeness, there's a need for the exaltation of the divine feminine within every man. We have multi-trillion-dollar business spent in sex. And because the sexual energy, the sensual energy, is the life force energy, and we have been socialized and cultivated to waste ourselves, to spend ourselves, to not understand how to cultivate ourselves, and that there are so many ones who are in such pain and such disdain and such guilt and such shame because of the violations against them from the time that they were children and teenagers and young adults and whatnot. And now we have to come to a point in place where we will take responsibility for our healing. And to understand that because a man is a man does not mean that he should not be an honorable man. Because a man does not mean that he should be expected to be in violation of himself and other ones. And we understand that under a world-conquering rampage that is intended to have us divided and conquered, that everybody is under siege. Nobody has escaped it. Those who grew up to be judges, and those who grew up to be police officers, and those who grew up to be doctors and dentists and lawyers and all of that, is that everybody, all of them, businessmen, are being undermined because they're being socialized to feel entitled to be violators, entitled to be violent, entitled to shoot and kill because they wear badges, and entitled to incarcerate and violate because they carry keys to cages that they have people locked up in. We're dealing with a sick entity of people. Because sickness, illness, and disease is rampant and everywhere. But it could not exist except you have sick, ill, and diseased people perpetuating it. Which is why we can no longer be complicit and complacent with it. To have an understanding and an understanding as to the root of the issues and the causes. And the accumulation of all of the chemicals, all of the nitrates and nitrites, the preservatives, the BHA, the BHT, the residues from the tobacco, the alcohol, the sugar, and all of the artificial colors, artificial flavors from the candy, and all of these things that we were given since we were children, of people who undermine their children, are a people who are destined to be discontinued in existence. We have to come to a point and place where it matters to us how we stand, because I'm seeing every hue of people in a plethora of sickness, illness, and disease. And it has to stop. We're in a now moment that we have so much available to us in terms of information and knowledge and truth and herbs and water and filtration and all manners of things. The intelligence of existence has gifted itself to absolutely everything and everyone all at the same time. But where we do not have a commitment towards wholeness, where we do not have a commitment towards our greater good, where we do not have a commitment towards really being self-actualizing, self-realizing on behalf of the wholeness, then we will not be able to access the greatness of ourselves, our ingenuity, our creativity, our genius, and whatnot. And this is what is required in order for us to reverse these issues. It's important that we do this. It matters. Because these children are laying up in hospitals with leukemia and all manners of cancers and all kinds of diseases because they have been eating McDonald's and Burger King and Church's Chicken and Chuck E. Cheese's and all of these things. And I'm just telling you that all that we have to come to a point and place where we understand that there is perfection that has gifted us, cultivated us, shaped us, is calling us to rise, to accept the greatness of ourselves, and to be about that business, that to give children poison just because it doesn't kill them right away does not mean that we're not offensive and guilty. But being in a place where we are able to really look at how awesome life is and how phenomenal existence is, and then make a decision to be as phenomenal as it is. Why not? In this now moment of eternity, we have those who are making transitions from this planet. We have those who are making transitions to the planet. We have those who are being conceived as we speak. Those who are being killed as we speak. Everything is going on in a now moment. Nothing is new. The issue is that there has been a call and an edict for humanity. The ascendants and the descendants of the Aboriginal, the Indigenous, the Natives, and all of those, no matter what quadrant of the galaxy you may have come to the planet through the wombs of your mother, sparked by the divine energy of your fathers, nobody is authorized by the will of existence or the intelligence of existence to be the legislators or perpetuators of sickness, illness, disease, and death as a livelihood. That as man, the progenitor of lineages, and wombed man, the perpetuator of lineages, our duty, obligation, and responsibility is to exalt life, as everything does. And our coming to a point and place where we feel as though we have the free will to be wrong, we have the free will to be mistaken, we have the free will to choose death, to work on behalf of sickness, illness, disease, and death. That's the lie. That we're supposed to be dying here. We should not be dying of anything. And to understand that the way that we think and how we nourish ourselves and the quality and the condition of the blood that we're creating, because when you're consuming, you are literally consciously or unconsciously creating new blood, and your spirit is charged on the blood, which is why we have so many ones who have the badges and the robes and the responsibility to dictate as to what happens to these ones as a result of their violations of the law when they are completely lawless themselves. And we do not need to be under their auspices because they have no light, they have no love, they have no wisdom, and they are not consciously trying to be held accountable for having any real truth. So why would you want to do anything to be under them? And this is why it's necessary for us to understand how to have leverage under a world-conquering rampage that is divisiveness. So our first degree and our first line of defense has to be to do nothing to undermine ourselves and ourselves when you are being warred against. And to come to a point and place where you are completely committed to life, to living, to loving, to honoring, to facilitating the greater good, to be one who works on behalf of life itself. You understand? Because your commitments will carry you. But if you will not make commitments and you're just committed to whatever thrill and whatever appetite, whatever desire you have, then at the end of your life, you will be spent. You'll be spent. You spent yourself. In that life, in the life that is committed to life, those two lives do not look the same upon the planet, nor will they look the same away from the planet. But we will be away from the planet much longer than we were ever on the planet. And we should not be dead. And the issue that I'm bringing forward is that when your cells come to a point and place where they will no longer regenerate, and you become a degenerating, you understand, then that's the path of death. And that's what feeding off the flesh of dead animals and the aborted fetuses of chickens and the pus and mucus of cows and all of this, artificial that, eating stuff that can sit on shelves forever. You understand, you have all of these ones who supposedly preparing for this doomsday, you understand, and in survival mode, but then they've never been in survival mode. If you were in survival mode, you would not be putting away beef jerky and all of this stuff that has absolutely no nutritional value. How can you feed off the flesh of other ones, whether it's fresh flesh or rotted flesh or preserved flesh? It's still a violation of the primary law of existence, which is not to kill, to love, and not to kill. And so love is the harmony of the truth, and the truth is that every living being, every eye that sees, sees as the eye of God. And when we can be harmonized within the reality of love, across all of the issues, the boxes, the artificial lines of demarcation, separation, compartmentalization, apartmentalization, and all of that divisiveness, then we get a chance to see a whole nother degree and whole other degrees of wholeness. And everything can work towards our greater good when we are no longer undermining ourselves or ourselves. The divine feminine that is in every man allows this man to be healed from his own violations, from his own shame and guilt for his acts of sinfulness and molestation and rape and violation and whatnot. Doesn't matter what the issues have been, is that people need to be healed and made whole. But if a lot of times what happens is that, you know, you're dealing with a penal system that is punitive, it punishes, but the system in and of itself set the precedent for lawlessness and being out of attunement. I saw so many toy guns, you know, wooden guns, toy guns, and whatnot. And under the kind of cultural and police brutality and climate that we have, why would we still be allowing our boys and girls to be having toy guns? I mean, what's the point of that? And so, but these are things that are not brought forward by children. They're brought forward by men and women who work and who produce these things and who market these things and sell these things and profit off of these things. And so I'm just asking us to get real about duty, obligation, and responsibility to be the perpetuators and the progenitor of lineages of people and to create a culture, a social reality that is life supporting and life perpetuating and not lawlessness. Because the system in which we are, and it doesn't matter what hue of people, the fact that you're feeding off of the violation of other beings. You understand? And people, I remember being in Detroit some years ago, and the guy was telling me about a woman who raises her animals, and she loves them, and she pets them, and before she slaughters them, she holds them in her arms and pets them, and then she cuts their throat and whatever. I'm saying, well, she's still a murderer. She's still a killer. You understand? And she had the animals trusting her. All right, so does that mean that the animal did not feel the pain of having its throat slit? You understand? Was the love that she had shown them going to really absolve that animal of the horrid experience of having the one that they so trusted and so loved slit their throats? We have to come to a point in place where we understand that we can't keep killing these animals, 20 billion animals on a yearly basis. They're being murdered and slaughtered and killed and wasted, and then they're being ground up and made into pellets and then being fed to dogs and cats and cows and pigs and chickens and whatnot. I mean, really, we have to come to a point in place where we really stop participating in this. I am the voice on behalf of the voiceless. I am the voice on behalf of our global liberation and resurrection, that we all have the opportunity to walk in the fullness of ourselves in this now moment, because we are the beneficiaries of the ingenuity, the talent, the creativity, the intelligence, the offerings, the labor, the light, the sacrifices, the love, the learning, the epiphanies, the realizations, the revelations, and the gifts of so many wands. Why would we not rise in this now moment? What do you want in your life? What do you want with the rest of your life? Are you in survival mode? And a lot of people say they're in survival mode, but they're killing themselves every day. So it's like, no, let's get real about what is survival. Is survival mean what? That you survive your cancer, you survive your heart attack, you survive your strokes? I'm just saying is that we need to be reversing situations and circumstances that have already begun to crystallize in our tissues as a result of the programming that we've received. living in a death culture. And everybody's culture participates with it. And this is what I saw at the Native Americans, you know, and the dancing, the three-day powwow that I had the opportunity to witness and see them in all of their regalia and whatnot, and to see that they are having the same issues that everybody else is having. We're having the same issues that they're having. There's alcoholism, there's drug abuse, there's cigarette smoking, there's bloated bellies, there are obese children. We are in a now moment that requires the sisterhood to be in a place and space where we will no longer tolerate it, we'll no longer participate with it, we will no longer work on behalf of these companies. But you have to activate your faith in knowing that there's a greater work for you to do. Activate your faith in knowing that you have talent, skill, and ability to that is already in you. And as you activate your DNA, you are bringing forward, calling forward, invoking, and facilitating your heritage, your inheritance, your true generational wealth. But being socialized and cultivated under a system that assumes that you're just a blank slate when you come into the world, and then everything is about your imprinting, you're being imprinted upon by your education, your environment, your parents and what they did and whatnot. No, everybody comes with gifts and talents. And the talent is the area through which the intelligence of existence or the creator's light has the opportunity to shine. But putting us in a place where we're on a cellular oppressive frequency and a DNA lockdown is not in anybody's best interest. The governments of the world will benefit when the people themselves are vital. There is no benefit where the people are addicted to anything, whether it's their own sexual and sensuality, whether it's the alcohol, the tobacco, the marijuana, the cocaine, the heroin, whatever. It doesn't benefit anybody. And we are all here to benefit everybody. The purpose in being is to be purposed in being lawfully, lovingly, willingly, cooperatively, collaboratively, harmoniously, delightfully, rejoicefully, creatively, dynamically. There's nobody whose purpose in existence is to be killing, violating, to be lawless. It's not anybody's purpose to be feeding off the flesh of dead animals and the aborted fetuses of ostriches and crocodiles and alligators and all of these other things, the fish and all of this. Is like you have a people here who have no regard and no respect for the right of other beings to have the right to their lives and to have the right to their progeny. And then we have to have our breasts cut off and our wombs removed and testicles removed and, you know, the prostate cancer. And now the men are getting breast cancer too as a result of them feeding off of so many chicken breasts and chicken wings that have all of this added hormones and all of the ice cream and all of the eggs and whatnot. So I'm just saying is that there is reason why we see the kind of cultural and physical and mental and spiritual deformity and sickness. And we have to do something about it. And we cannot do anything for the world, in the world, where we are not committed to ourselves and ourselves. And to think that you would spend so much time in school getting degreed, doing papers and dissertations and theses and this, that, and the other, and you don't know how to eat. And this is a problem because we have so much philosophizing and so much rhetoricizing and so much of all of this going on. But the bottom line is that when you don't know how to take care of yourself, then you are not taking care of your children. And that's what we're here to do. And we should know how to do this. And a capitalistic system that supports the cellular oppression of children, a capitalistic system that supports the degradation, the violation, the sexual enslavement, entrapment, molestation, violation, and whatnot, the negative programming and what of youth and children. I'm just saying, you're dealing with a society that we're all a part of, that will soon cease to exist, because if you do not serve the purposes of life, then there is no purpose for you. And the inherent purpose in existence, a people who have lost their purpose have lost literally everything, and they have nothing else to lose. And you'll find them doing just about anything. And this is what we see. We need to be intelligent enough, willing and loving, kind and caring enough to deal with the issues of our continuance in existence, to deal with the issues of our exaltation, our liberation, our reinstatement, our reorientation and realignment with the will of existence, the ways of existence, the laws of existence. And to come to a point and place where it matters to us how we walk this earth and how we glorify and honor the legacy of the lineages that we represent. We're in a now moment of eternity, and we will always be in a now moment of eternity. The issue is, how well are you able to be a vehicle and vessel of the love, the light, the wisdom, the truth, the ingenuity, the creativity, the prosperity, the benevolence and beneficence of it? This is our time. And so I'm encouraging you to look into your own eyes consistently and get butt naked and look at yourself and realize that you didn't give yourself any of that, and you are either aiding the process or you are oppressing yourselves. And so there's much more of each one of us, and now is the time where the more is needed. The more light, the more love, the more courage, the more creativity, the more ingenuity and freedom and joy and laughter and love and healing. And if you won't accept it for yourself and you won't exalt that full life surge, then there's nothing that you could truly do that makes sense if you will not do you. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal. Good evening. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama thanking you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. Being in this now moment with everything being as it is necessary that we do have an opportunity to hear something other than the bad news that is going on, and to really be in a place where you are supported in realizing that there's a good news. And the good news is that you have the opportunity to make choices that are truly in your own best interest on a daily basis, to get beyond all of the other stuff in terms of the programming, the behavior modification, the psychological and psychiatry and all of these systems that have allowed sickness, illness, disease, degradation, deformation, mental retardation, and all of these other things to come forward. And we are in crisis as a global humanity, a global family. And though the crisis exists, there are so many of us who are really here to avert it, who can do something about it, if we would so choose to be so responsive, to be in a place and space where it really matters to us what contribution we're making in the world, what contribution we're making to life, what contribution we're making in any of the circles of family and friends and coworkers and other ones that you may have opportunity to meet any day, anywhere. Because that's how often we have opportunity, is everywhere that we show up to make a difference in the world, just by consciously caring to be a blessing wherever you are. But it's extremely difficult to be the blessing if you are not exalting your blessedness, if you are not really dwelling in the conscientiousness of how truly blessed you are. Not by virtue of finances and having things, but by virtue of each and every breath that you take. By virtue of every step that you make, by virtue of your being present in the presence of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is all there is as existence itself, that we are in a now moment that the veils of darkness are being lifted. And those who choose consistently over time to exalt a full life's urge to do that which is truly in their best interest, who care to be disciplined and disciples of truth and light and love and wisdom, and to be poised as points of the presence of that intelligence that we refer to as God. This is truly how we get leverage in a system that is not godly, in a world system that is perpetuated by men or those who want to be respected as men and womb men. But to properly orient oneself after being miseducated and religiously trained to accept sinfulness as your nature, to be in a place where you are glib about your right to be out of alignment with the laws that govern your being. This is the programming that we all have received. And in light of it, and in spite of it, the laws of life, the laws of existence are still present and pervasive. And you have the opportunity, we have the opportunity to really align ourselves with those laws so that we are able to be corrected and realigned, reoriented in the purposes of existence, reoriented in our conscious care to be vehicles and vessels of the love, the light, the wisdom, the truth, the peace, and the power of the true spirit of the living gods and goddesses. And in consciously accepting that you have the power to choose, you also have the power to invoke and call forth the triumph of absolute love as the reality of every aspect of your life. Because you get what you ask for, what you are consciously desirous of, whether you speak it or not. But the fact that you have been given, and we have been blessed with the faculty of speech, the faculties of thought and consideration and reflection and meditation and all of these things that get and give us leverage over a system that wants us to be on an automatic pilot with this cataclysmic ride with demise that seems to be so profitable to so many, but the profit is delusion. There is no real profit in railroading people towards sickness, illness, disease, death, defamation, degradation, violation, and whatnot, so that you are making millions and millions of dollars on pharmaceuticals and caskets and surgeries and all of these things, prison and warring and whatnot, we have to realize that those who have taken responsibility to misorient and disorient and miseducate and fool, hoodwink and bamboozle, these ones are not the ones to be followed. That you and I have a much greater opportunity in this now moment. Why? Because we can see much more clearly the confusion that these ones are in. Because everywhere they are, there is confusion. There is more war. There is more sickness. There is more illness. There is more disease. So we have to come to a point and place where we will no longer participate. If you really care to have leverage. Now, if you don't mind being sick, ill, diseased, and dying, and whatnot, then you can just continue to do what you're doing, but it does not give your lineages proper representation. It doesn't help your children to be supported, or your grandchildren, in claiming their rights to life, in them being able to exalt a full life's urge. And this is what time we're in, because if we continue to do the same things we've always done, we'll continue to get the same results, except we will get more and it will get worse in terms of the obesity and diabetes and all of the cancers and the leukemias and the HIV and AIDS and arthritis and rheumatism and hypertension and heart disease and strokes and heart attacks and hysterectomies and impotency and infertility and blindness and STDs and tuberculosis, alcoholism, drug addiction, substance abuse, premature pregnancies, abortions, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, lupus, rape, incest, whoredom, prostitution, molestation, murder, theft, attention deficit disorder, bipolarism, schizophrenia, sarcoidosis, homelessness, domestic violence, insanity, divorce, police brutality, suicide, homicide, unemployment, spiritual, physical, mental impoverishment, overwhelming debt, further entrapment, enslavement, incarceration, execution, genocidal annihilation. We have to come to a point and place where we realize that if our educational systems do not support us in knowing how to feed, knowing how to eat, knowing how to facilitate optimum cellular functioning so that we are able to think and perform optimally as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of this absolute and supreme intelligence, and to live our lives with the greatest of health and vibrancy and longevity and no disease, then that education is more costly than it's worth. We could do much better without it. And to realize that there are several families of generations of families that have created unbelievable wealth, producing, manufacturing, marketing, distributing, advertising, and selling the flesh of dead pigs and cows and dead chickens and turkeys and dead fish and other sea creatures and their scraps from the slaughterhouses disguised as hot dogs and sausages, lunch meats. And then there's the coffee and the sugar and the sugar products, the tobacco, the alcohol, the pharmaceuticals, the drugs, the preservatives, the antibiotics, the hormones, the artificial sweeteners, artificial colors, artificial flavors, creating an artificial people. Leaving us drugged, drunk, defiled, degraded, sick, and diseased. These are the death industries. And they should not be in business. And they really are not our businesses. So we have to come to a point where we are living to make the changes, to be the change. We're changing so that we are able to live, so that we are able to thrive, so that we are not on this cataclysmic ride with demise. We are in a now moment where we have to decide how we want to be in this. It was said, to be or not to be, that is the question. And it's also a question as to the substance and the quality of being that we will apply ourselves to in order to strengthen ourselves, in order to be in a place and space where you really can correct from the influences that we have had over the years to be glib about having the right to poison ourselves with all of this stuff. And to be in a place where we will realize that our individual efforts, our individual actions, our failures to act, and to do that which is truly in the best interest of all of us, our inability to really call forth and invoke the light of absolute and supreme intelligence to help us to realign and reorient and correct ourselves so that we are a glory unto the intelligence of existence itself, that we are living harmonious with Mother Earth and Mother Nature and all of her creatures, that we are literally realizing the real I in us is truly seeing the harmony of the whole of existence itself, and realizing that because we are on a planet that is in flotation and rotation within the very presence of this absolute and supreme intelligence, and in relationship to the rest of all there is as existence itself, that which is cosmic, of upon which and within which there are an infinitude of universes, and we are only in one of them, but we have come to the earth through the wounds of our mothers, sparked by this divine sacred energy from our fathers, and now we are having to exalt a full effort, a full care, not to be struggling, but to really understand the power that we have in choosing to serve life, the power that we have in claiming our right to be right, the power that we have in allowing ourselves to get real serious about loving our lives and realizing that we will never, ever have anything greater than who and what we already are. But naked. And now that we see that the education has not added to the substance of us to the degree to which we are rightly oriented in this life. Then now that we realize that money and fame and fortune and materiality and sexuality and sensuality and all of these things do not add to the blessedness of us, but they can be true distractions of us, for us, distractions from what we are really purposed to be doing upon the planet while we're on the planet, in terms of rejoicing in the blessedness of our being, as well as enhancing, enriching, and resubstantiating the substance of us, so that our spirits are enriched and enriching, that our lives are really truly vivifying of the intelligence that we have been gifted. But it is not intelligent to be killing ourselves, nor is it intelligent to think that because you can behaviorally modify masses of people to want that which is undermining themselves, to fight for that which does not give them any greater leverage in the world, but to be in a place where you feel entitled to be out of alignment with the laws of existence, the purpose of existence. This is the true level of impoverishment that exists, the impoverishment of care to ask, care to seek, care to really be in alignment with the purposes in being. It's impoverishment. A spiritual impoverishment of character, an impoverishment of ethics and morals that put us in a place where we are inundated with all of this garbage that is available to ourselves, to our children, it was available to us when we were children, for us to realize that now, because there is so much sickness, illness, and disease, that so many ones have to begin to question everything. To be in a place where not only are you questioning, but now you are recommitting yourself to being cleared from it all, cleansed from it all, renewed and rebirthed from it all, so that you are becoming more of the all that you truly are on a daily basis. As we can complain about what people do, we can complain about what people won't do, what people don't do. We can complain about other people's inconsistencies and hypocrisies and contradictions. But the issue is that when we want to create something different, to externalize a greater way, then we have to do the greater thing with ourselves, for ourselves, within ourselves, within ourselves. And it requires a commitment to do that, to be consistently committing and recommitting, committing and recommitting, committing and recommitting to life itself, just like you're breathing. With each and every breath and every beat of your heart, you are having the opportunity to oxygenate and to facilitate the removal of toxins and the infusion of nutrients and whatnot upon your cells, so that you are literally consistently charged in the frequency of that which is life itself, by breath itself, to be in a place where you are having the opportunity to truly enjoy your living. But when we've come to a place where so many ones are not enjoying their living, then we have to really consciously care to be and to make a difference wherever we are. Because otherwise, other people's sickness, illness, disease, degradation, and desperation and whatnot can spill over into your life until you come to a point and place where you will not have all of that, because you are consciously seeking, consciously reaching for, embracing, claiming, calling, invoking that which is your right to be right, to be corrected, to be in alignment, to be in a place where you are completely centered in the reality of your divinity, centered on behalf of the establishment of that which is not just sanity, but that which is the greatest degree of political consciousness we can have, which is our vivid self-representation as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of this absolute and supreme intelligence. America as a corporate entity and deity has to have a president, but those of us who don't participate in it, we have the opportunity to participate in the eternal ordering that is happening. We have the opportunity to participate in the reconciliation with Mother Earth and the universe that we're in, to and being under the administering intelligences of the tribunals of the whole. You understand that the earth herself is under surveillance. Not that those ones who set up cameras here upon the planet and always want to listen to our conversations and read our emails and try to see if anybody is subversive to the government or whatnot. The government is subversive to itself. We really don't have to do anything against it, because it in truth really does not exist. As government, there is no government that you can have in lawlessness. You understand? So that which is touted to be government, that is lawlessness, that has licensed, certified, degreed, miseducated, and empowered other ones to consistently lie to the people, perpetuate sickness, illness, disease to the people. This is not government. This is criminality. This is lawlessness. And we have no right to participate with it when we care to be in alignment with that which is the will of existence, the will of that which we refer to as God. We do not have the right to be in a place where we will continue to support that which is not correcting us. And then people want to say, oh, well, there's no right and there's no wrong. It's all necessary. If we didn't have all of this wickedness and evil, we wouldn't know what right and light is. That's foolishness. There is order in existence. And the worlds and realms do not have to spin out of order to come back to order. There is order that is instituted as the perfection of existence. This is how intelligent the intelligence of existence is. And there's so much more to existence than just the duality of right and wrong and black and white and this and that and this and that. There is an infinitude that exists all at the same time. But our ability to see beyond the dualities is completely contingent upon how much we apply ourselves towards really being in right alignment with life itself, with each and every breath we take, with every beat of our hearts, with every step that we make. Our continually feeding on the flesh of violated beings charges our blood with violation. And the violation that is charged on our blood becomes a violation or puts us in a place where we can choose. We're choosing that which creates greater degrees of violence and violation. And this is a real issue. And the root of the issue in terms of why we have trigger happy policemen and we have those who would wear these robes, whether it's the preacher's robes or the choir robes or the judge's robes, whoever is robed, who are they serving? What are they ministering to? What is the message that they're putting forward? Who is their audience? What is their intention? But 9 times out of 10, where they have continued to feed themselves off the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of other beings, all of this alcohol and tobacco and sugar and all of this. And we see how the culture is being perpetuated in all of the movies and the media and all of this, that everybody has to drink. The surgeons are having drinks after work. They're having hamburgers and hot dogs between surgeries. You understand, we are in a place and space where everybody needs to be completely cleared and cleansed, purified and renewed, because there is so much more of their own talent, skill, ability, and divinity that exists. Because every nation, every hue of people has their gifts to give to the world, and everybody is being misled, has been miseducated under this frequency of energy that is globalization and capitalization and all of this, where money and resources, the grappling for resources, the excavation of resources, the rape and violation of Mother Earth and Mother Nature and her creatures and the indigenous and aboriginal and native people and their land. On this planet, we have to raise completely up by getting to that place and space where we will do nothing to undermine ourselves, that we will facilitate optimum cellular functioning by acknowledging the perfection of existence and the perfection of the design that we have been gifted as absolute and supreme intelligences. That are men, the progenitor of lineages, and that are wombed men, the perpetuator of lineages. And to understand that our duty, obligation, and responsibility is in the exaltation of life. Not in killing and murdering and subjugating and bastardizing and usurping, capitalizing, incarcerating, all of that. That's not what we're here to do. That's the distortion and dysfunction that has come as a result of the violation of the blood, the defilement of the temples of the spirits of the true living gods and goddesses. Each and every day, you should be exalting a full life's urge, sitting with yourself, looking in the mirror, reverencing and respecting the gift that you've been given. That is life. The gift that you've been given, that is the capacity for thinking, the gifts that you've been giving, for the capacity of loving, honoring, reverencing, worshiping, exalting, and caring to be all that you were created to be, as living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of this absolute and supreme intelligence. This is where we can harmonize. This is how we come together. This is how we transcend all of the boxes, the limited frames of reference, the divisiveness, the disorder, the disrespect, the disregard, the violation, the separation, the subjugation. We are greater than all of it. And where we care to be great, we will get the benefit of that care. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection.